From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast.
Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you joined us for the 84th episode of the podcast, and as has been the case the last several episodes, I'm joined behind the microphone by Leah. Leah, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Leah just keeps showing up to do these, so we keep recording them.
There you go.
There you go.
That's
the way it's worked. So we have had a busy couple of weeks, but kind of one of those it's been busy with more normal stuff. We had our gospel meeting last week, but you know, for us that's kind of normal. It's church every night. But other than that, we've had all kinds of things going on. We went to a meeting at Double Springs, gospel meeting nearby at Double Springs. Heard our friend Dale Jenkins preach earlier this week, and had my men's reading group this week, and all kinds of stuff. And then the garden continues to try to kill us.
It's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. Today, Mary Carol and I harvested
potatoes.
First time I've ever tried to grow potatoes.
Half of the potatoes.
Yeah, we harvested half the potatoes and it filled a wheelbarrow. So if you want to have potatoes, you can come on over. We have a few. But we've eaten some already. They're good.
Mm-hmm. They really are.
Yeah, and that's the first time I've ever tried to grow those. And so we're enjoying that.
We've made pickles.
We've made pickles. Yeah, like, what, 20-something jars 24. Of pickles. And let's see, we've frozen some squash, we've frozen some beans, we've canned tomato juice, I guess that is?
No, just canned tomatoes.
Canned tomatoes.
Not very many.
You did that when I wasn't here.
Because they're just now really starting to come
in. And other than the tomatoes, we can say we have done, because I do help with this stuff.
Yeah, you did the pickles.
I don't really have a clue what I'm doing other than just standing there and doing what you tell me to do. But
we've frozen some eggplant.
Frozen eggplant.
Slices.
Yep, so... We had to buy a deep freeze, Leah.
Yeah.
So
I feel like a grown up now.
I know. Wow.
Isn't that weird? There's something about. I remember I didn't ever even admit it to you, but when we put it in there and got it plugged in and started putting some things in there, I thought there's something about this that makes me feel like a grown up having a deep freeze.
We're old. Let's just say it. Let's just say it.
I think it's because my grandmother had one. My mom and dad have always had them. And we've never really had any kind of... We had an extra refrigerator in our house in the garage.
In Nashville.
In Nashville. Yeah. But that's the closest we've ever been. And we even got rid of that because we didn't use it very much. We kept thinking...
We'd never need something like that. Yeah. Now we have a deep freeze.
Well, we actually wanted the money and the space in the garage. It was pretty little.
True. So. That was considered a two-car garage.
Yeah, it was.
You would have to have two smart cars.
Right.
I'm not really sure they could have fit in there. But anyway, we digress a lot. That's okay. So, I have potatoes, pickles. We're getting a lot of tomatoes now. We're eating a lot of that kind of stuff and just enjoying it and keeping us busy. And beginning of the summer, you listed off 411 projects here on the podcast you want us to do this summer. Have we done any of them yet?
Well, we've just finished having the walls in our bedroom repaired.
Here's the thing. We didn't even list that one on the podcast.
We talked about I wanted to do the bedroom.
Did you?
I think so.
I don't think we did.
Yeah.
I think that's an auxiliary project.
No, I think we talked about it because it was something I had wanted to do since last year, but then we had the other stuff come up, like the heating and things. It changed some of our plans.
So
drastically.
Yeah. By the way, when you say we just got it done, the guy just left before we started recording 10 minutes ago. So,
but there's 1/4 of an inch of sheetrock.
Yeah.
Sheetrock dust.
Yeah. If you have an allergic reaction to sheetrock dust,
you don't
our
need
house
to be
is
here.
Not the place you need to be. Like me.
For 3 years, it's not the place you need to be.
Yeah. Like I don't do well with it. When we finish these projects, I'm always coughing for a week. So this is going to be a fun 4th of July.
Sorry.
It's part of it. It's all part of it.
Then we paint in there.
Yeah.
In the bathroom.
So. I hate painting. I just do.
I don't really like it either, but...
I usually do not like doing it. Potatoes, pickles. I'm not even sure if you know this, Leah. We're registered for Polishing the Pulpit.
Good.
I'll be looking forward to that. As June is winding down and... July starts this weekend. That means Polish the Pulpit's just a few weeks away now. Mm-hmm. I need to start working my lessons at some point. Hope Alan Webster doesn't listen to this because I haven't really started on him yet. In all seriousness, the day this comes out, I think, is the last day of the early bird registration. I think it's the end of June, maybe very early July. But let's give our little commercial for probably the seventh or eighth time this year already. Why should people go to Polish the Pulpit?
This is the best thing ever.
Aw.
Well, I mean, besides you, of course.
Wow, that hurt for
the best event ever.
There we go. Even above our wedding? I'm going to make you feel bad no matter what you say.
The best spiritually uplifting event ever.
Held in Sevierville, Tennessee that we attend.
I guess.
How about that? There we go. No, but Polish the Pulpit's fantastic. And I'm glad we're registered and have our room already secured and everything so we can be making our plans to go. And it's always in late August. And if you have never gone, we always say this, Leah, there's no way to describe it other than just go once. It is Ladies' Day, Gospel Meeting, Elders' Workshop, Deacons' Workshop, Family Seminar, Parenting Seminar, Book Review Seminar, Missionary Reports, and more, Vacation Bible School, and more, all held in one place at one time for an entire week.
Yeah, I was going to say times seven.
Yeah, it's absolute insanity, but it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Great. You know, we throw around the phrase, you know, it's a spiritual feast. That really is. I mean, when we leave there, we're always tired because you've, you know, listened and things, but I mean, I don't know about you, but I leave with like a notebook and a brain full of ideas, you know, more ideas than I ever could put in practice, really.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't take as many notes. I always, I'm not a very good note taker for some reason. I start taking notes and then I miss the other things the person's saying because I'm trying to think about what I'm writing down. Mm-hmm. That sounds weird.
No,
I hope other people are like that maybe, but anyway, so I always feel like I retain more if I just listen. Especially if there's a handout or a PowerPoint or something. But
so you've been sharing some good articles lately. Let's get to our little roundup here. Our friend Josh Ketchum wrote an article that you shared back about a week ago or so. And the title is really simple, New Issues for Today's Parents. And before we get to some things on this list, why did you like this? Because he just lists, I think it's five things that, you know, parents today face. Why did you kind of like this and share it and think it was awesome? Because I was going to share it until I saw that you had shared it, so mm-hmm. I've saved it back for the podcast.
Well, why do you want to talk about the things I've shared? Usually you pick.
Because you share better stuff than I do, I think, on Facebook.
I've got good Facebook taste, maybe.
Yeah. I share my stuff on Twitter.
Okay.
Like other people's articles and stuff. But why did you like this one?
Well,
besides a great guy wrote it.
Yeah, we love the Ketchums. But I think it was just interesting to think about, like the title says, that, you know, these are issues that are new and different. And everyone likes to talk. I guess why I thought it was so interesting is that everyone always likes to talk like everything's the same. We're not really facing anything new. There have always been challenges and hurdles to get over in whatever area of life we're talking about. And I know that that's true. And you know, it's true, like that old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah. There's always new and different challenges for every generation.
Yeah, but I liked it because he really did a good job of laying out some very unique things about raising children in today's society. And it is different than it used to be. And there are more, at least different types of things to be concerned about that you cannot parent like your parents did, maybe.
And he's,
some things are going to be different.
And the article, he simply basically, he doesn't really go into any of these deeply. He just simply lists the five, gives, I don't know, six, seven lines of each one, basically saying, you know, parents need to wake up. In fact, the last paragraph, as he's concluding it, just says parents need to wake up. We won't go through all five of these, but for example, the first one is a very new one. You know, parents 30 years ago, 20 years ago, we didn't have to worry about this, is phones. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, they had phones in the house, but not cell phones and smartphones and that sort of thing. That is a new thing parents have to deal with.
And it's not just the phones. He makes a point about the internet access on the phones.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I mean, there's one thing to say, you know, like if you wanted, since we are in a cell phone age of, you know, people having a phone that they just take with them, there's no more home phones, you know. But this is more about that with that phone, most of the time is internet access. Yeah. And the internet is a scary place for children.
He quotes a study that said that 24% of kids, and I don't know what the age of that is, what defined as kids, but 24% of kids are allowed unrestricted private access to the internet. That's a little frightening. Basically a quarter of kids, and probably if you did statistical variance, it probably is a quarter. It's 24%. It has to be, plus or minus a little bit. So basically a quarter of kids have unrestricted, and it's because they're carrying the internet around their pocket or their purse all the time on these things. The average age of kids getting not their first phone, Leah, their first smartphone is 10.3 years of age.
That's amazing.
You're just shaking your head.
That's amazing.
10. What were you doing when you were at age 10 besides watching that Rainbow Bright?
I was going to say playing with Barbie dolls, riding a bicycle.
You weren't playing on your iPhone and, figuring out new apps to download?
No, my parents said no to video games.
Yeah. So, but parents do have to, and again, he's not saying don't have phones. We talked about this in the last podcast, actually, but it's just a matter of what boundaries you're going to have, instead of just, well, everybody else does it, so let's do it too. Parents, that's something parents 20, 30 years ago and beyond didn't have to worry about. Parents now have to think about that. How are we going to handle this? How are we going to introduce that? We won't go into this one. The second thing is this is media exposure. That goes along with the phones a little bit, but things like, Netflix, YouTube, and things are just everywhere you go. The third one on the list, sports participation. Now, there have been youth sports for ages. You read books from, parenting books from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and there was Little League and, little football camps and, Pee Wee Leagues and all that kind of stuff. But his point here is that it has to be all the time year round, that there's never a break from it. And that is true for most families or a lot of families, whether their kid is involved in one sport or just they're just the sports kid. They do football one season, basketball one season, baseball one season, and probably something else another season. Or their parents think they have the next, Derek Jeter or something, so they play 300 games of baseball every year, all year long, and it consumes the family. And parents have to figure out in this culture of your kid has to be involved in everything, how do you be the family that says, no, our kid's just doing this one sport and that's it?
Or just that what you were saying, that if you are going to participate, then it's all in. There's not many leagues. I think there are a few that are intended to be low-key, low-maintenance sports leagues, but usually in big cities.
Mm-hmm.
But you have all of these that it's just like it's not just we're going to have a game or so a week.
It's like four nights of practice, a whole weekend of playing.
You do for that, and it's basically it runs your social life and your family time, and a lot of families may be okay with that, but the point of in the article is that is a different. If you wanted your kid to play, baseball, then it's a decision. It's a different decision now than it used to be.
Yeah, it's going to be your life.
It's going to be your
season,
life, and,
basically,
and it's all more money to spend.
Yeah.
More time to spend. It's things like that. And this is a point of his article. It's not that this stuff hasn't been around. It's what it means today. And even like, I know you're wanting to go on. I can tell by your face.
Sure.
But when you mentioned the media exposure, it's always been, since the 50s or so, television. But there's no comparison to television then to is now. And you can't parent like you used to. You have to be more involved and know more about what they're watching because they let anything be on television now. I mean, anything. Even if you're watching a decent show on network television or a ball game on network television, what do you have to be worried about now? The commercials.
Yeah.
It's just a different world that we're in as far as raising your children and trying to keep them innocent and safe and teach them the values that you want them to have. And even if you're either in different parenting strategy with that or it's different parenting in that you have to talk to your children at a very young and early age about what all this stuff means so that they can filter it out themselves.
Yeah.
But until you're ready to, do that when they're very, very young, then you have to be the one filtering it out.
Right.
It's just not the same as it used to be. And I that's why I like the article.
Yeah.
I know there's more listed.
Yeah, before we'll just mention there too in a second, but the sports participation, I just want to mention that some time ago I was having a conversation, Lee, and I can't remember if the people were telling me it was their grandchild or their great-grandchild. It's an older couple, but they had gone to watch them play a game, and I want to say this child was a grandkid or great-grandkid, was like 11, 12, somewhere right in there. And I know it's summertime. This was just the last couple of weeks or so. But the game started at 10:15 at night and ended at 12:10 in the morning. These are kids. But the thinking was they had to get the game in because it was part of a tournament, and they were going to have to play the next day if they won. So these kids played a sport until 12:10 in the morning. And I thought, is this really a good thing?
No.
Yes, yeah.
It's not. I mean,
I don't want to stay up for 12:10 for much of anything. But anyway, the other things he mentions, we're not going to go into them deeply, not because we're avoiding them, because we know a lot of families listen to the podcast, and it's a lot easier to kind of go down some roads in conversation with this that may not be good, suitable for young ears. But he mentions number 4, the homosexual agenda, and number 5, gender issues. Again, we'll probably talk about those on a podcast, maybe set aside some time where we can warn families that's coming because they might not want little ears listening to those things. But we really recommend the article. We'll link to it in the show notes. Again, our friend Josh Kesham wrote that. The show notes for our episode, by the way, this episode, can be found at fawnfamily.com/POD84, fawnfamily.com/pod84. The other article I want to talk about, Leah, is one that you posted some time ago. I've had this list, or it was written some time ago, I guess. I can't remember how long ago you posted it. I love the title, Raising a Knight in a Decaying Culture. Now, the website is The Unlikely Homeschool, and I'll go ahead and say this, you know, full disclosure here, this article is leading towards trying to sell a book. Neither one of us has read the book. We're not trying to promote the book. We're talking about the article that kind of leads to the book. But it's a book that someone's written about raising knights, you know, and all that sort of thing. Let's do our usual thing here. Why, in general, this idea of raising a knight in a decaying culture, why did that kind of speak to you? Then we'll get to some things the article actually talks about specifically.
Well, it's of course talking about raising a boy in a culture that really is almost
go ahead and say it. It's anti-male.
Yes. Well, I was trying to think of a way to say
masculine.
It, but yes, it's very much, you know, instead of teaching them that it's okay to be a boy and be like a knight, when you think of a knight, they're strong and mighty and
masculine.
They know what they want and they have a purpose, you know, they live by code. And we don't raise boys like that much anymore.
And it's not, you know, we're not saying arrogance. You know, some people get that idea, mm-hmm. that overly masculine,
or,
you know, the arrogance and,
or,
you know, bully and that sort of thing. That's not what we're talking about.
Or mean to women, you know.
Yeah.
Being a male doesn't mean, if you're a man's man, so to speak, does not mean you're mean.
Let's go
to
back
women.
To that word I love so much. It's chivalrous.
Right.
It's chivalry. That's so missing.
And you, that came from...
knighthood.
The knighthood.
That's
the code
right.
of chivalry. Because you want to know why we learned this in school? Can I just...
Go ahead.
Because
this
they
is
50%
your podcast.
They were
too.
Having problems with the knights in the in this feudal system that they had, just because they had a little bit of authority. They were in authority under their lords to rule a land or so something like that, and they pretty much took their they abused their authority. They abused their authority. And so people got together, and that's where the code of chivalry was born. Like, this is how, if you're an knight, you need to act. This is how knights are going to be expected to act. And it had everything to do with how you treat women, even. And that if you had even been accused of misconduct by a woman, that was a shame on you, you know. And so they were expected to act, you know, very nobly, but also being who they were, they were still in authority. So they, you know, had power and strength, and that's what we want for our boys. We want them to know how to treat people, and especially mm-hmm. how to treat women. But that doesn't need to take away their manhood and their strength and honor, and dare I say, even their authority as a man in their family.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, some people hear this kind of thing and they think you're trying to raise like a bodybuilder or a super athlete. It's not even that. A boy, a man can be chivalrous and be the smallest guy in the room. You know, he can be the piano player or he can be the, you know, the artist or whatever. It doesn't have to be the big muscled up, you know, brawn thing, but he is strong in the ways that are most important. He's strong on the inside that comes out in standing up for things. And she mentions that the person who wrote the book that they kind of are basing this article on, they tried to get their sons to live out 10 things. And I don't know if these provide the chapters for the book or not. But let me just read these 10 that they kind of think are kind of the signs of, you know, modern knighthood for them. Number one, I think we would agree with, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That sounds almost biblical.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds, you know, I think I've read that somewhere, Mark chapter 12. Number two, obey those in authority over you. Now, that doesn't sound like knighthood because we think these are the guys in charge. But part of being a knight was somebody's over you, mm-hmm. too. You're mm-hmm. not the king or you're not the nobleman. You know, obey those in authority over you. Number three, stand against injustice and evil. Well, we need guys that are willing to do that. And it's hard. It's hard to step in when you see something like that and actually, you know, not be the bully, but just stand up against what's wrong. You know, kind of stand in the gap, to use the biblical term. Four, defend and protect the weak. Five, you want to just go off on this one?
in a
positive way. Respect and honor women. I mean, let me just say this, and you know, as a man in 2017, that doesn't just mean the women in your presence. It means things like no pornography, because that's not respecting and honoring women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means things like when you see something on the television, a woman immodestly clothed, you turn the channel, because that's not respecting and honoring them. But yes, it's also the person in your presence. And you speak properly, yes ma'am and no ma'am, and open doors and all those sorts of things. Six, I love the wording. Refrain from wanton offense. What in the world does that mean, Leah?
I think that you should not be going to look to offend someone.
Yep, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't use the word wanton.
Thank you for putting me on the spot. Yeah. Like, you're so good at
it. We need to work the word wanton in every podcast somehow. May not make sense. Seven, speak the truth at all times. Of course. But that's a sign of being a knight, because it's not easy to speak. Sometimes it's easier to say something that's not true or to not speak. It's to speak the truth at all times. Eight, be generous and willing to share. I think we'd agree with that. I think we agree with all these. But nine, oh man, how our world needs this and how we raise men who are willing to do this. Persevere and finish the task at hand. We are raising not just boys. We are raising a culture that basically says, if at first you don't succeed, give up and just move on to something else. Now, there is a sense in which sometimes you're not going to finish something, but I like the way that's worded. Persevere and finish the task at hand. Stay focused on something until it's done. And our boys need to learn that in our culture. And then 10, pursue excellence in all you do. I really like that one. We are also, I think, living in a society quite often that says, just slap something together and that's good enough. And there are times what we think is excellent isn't. And it's not, but it should never be because we didn't try. You pursue excellence in all you do. You may never achieve it. I mean, if you ask me to go out and play basketball, I mean, I can pursue excellence. I'm not going to be LeBron James. It's just not going to happen. But could I do the best I can do? Yeah. You know, example for me, when I stand in the pulpit, am I going to be the greatest preacher in Brotherhood? No. But it's not going to be for lack of effort. It's just going to be because my skill set is not to be the greatest preacher in the Brotherhood. But it should not. It should never be for lack of effort, you know, of pursuing to be the best we possibly can be. And we need to teach that to our boys, that, you know, even things like cleaning their room or, you know, cleaning out the car or those sorts of things. Is it going to be perfect? Probably not. But it should never be because of a lack of effort. You should pursue the excellence in what you do. And I think that bleeds over into things they love. You know, Turner, he's our boy, of course. Turner, you know, loves art and drawing and those sorts of things. It's not my cup of tea. I mean, I'm glad he does it. I'm just not an artist. But I love that when he draws something, he wants it to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes you can take it too far and throw a little hissy fit if it's not. But I like that he wants it to be right, because that's pursuing excellence, doing the best he can. in that. And that needs to bleed over into more important areas of life. But so those are the 10 in our list. Overall thoughts. Just other than, yeah, I agree with them.
Told what I was going to say. Oh. I agree with him.
We're married. I know I can finish your sentences for you.
I don't know. I mean, I'm with you on that. This is a big deal to me because I don't want any boy, but especially ours, to be raised to think that they. It seems like it would just take something away from a man or a boy or a man that. To make that they're unique, and we always talk about how it's okay to be who you are and be unique, but then we want to take that away from, you know, it's okay for, I guess, for men to be different, of course, than women, and I think that's the nature of what has happened in our culture, is that, you know, that men shouldn't be men, and so then now in a society where it is more and more like that, you know, there is a call to say, look, we have to train these boys better. They have to be trained. They're not going to get it from society at all. And you know, you could say girls are not going to get what they need from society at all. And I'm just more and more passionate about, I mean, I know it's because I am a parent and I have two children that are right here in this tween age that, you know, your time is starting to feel like it's winding down, and you have so much you want to train them in, and I know you feel the same way too, but we love families so much, and we want to see families be strong, and part of the reason I think families need to be strong is I think that's in so many ways that's the strength of the church, and I'm so passionate about the church being strong.
And of society.
And of society. I mean, it just hinges so much on that. It's like people, I read this just a few days ago, I'm not sure where, but the family was the first institution from God, and it's important to Him that we have strong families, mothers and fathers and children, and it doesn't mean to take away from someone who maybe doesn't have that, but it's okay to support that and to want them to be strong and to want them to be united, you know, that we want strong families. We want to support those who've had hard times where they find themselves not in a family setting as much. What's the nuclear, is that the right
nuclear
word?
Family.
Nuclear family as much. But it's okay to want to strengthen. And to me, part of that is raising strong men so that they will lead strong families. And I don't know if this all makes sense, but that's why I'm so passionate about it. It just is so needed in our society right now, I think.
You know, one thing that is not specifically mentioned on that list of 10 things, but I think is hinted at in several of them. And like I said, we haven't read the book. We're not recommending the book. We're just looking at the article because we found that list interesting. But
we're not recommending because we don't know. Not because we know
exactly.
Something
we don't know anything about it. We need to get it. Yeah. It looks like
so awesome. We might recommend it if we read it.
But one thing it's not specifically mentioned, but I do want to just bring out specifically that I think is included in things like, you know, being a knight, being chivalrous, is old school manners. And I think that's hinted at, and that's why I'm not trying to say it should be on the list, because I imagine in things like honoring women or standing, you know, up for what you believe, I imagine it's listed in there. But, I mean, nobody has to listen to a podcast to hear somebody say that manners are just gone. I mean, overall, old school, you know, old-fashioned manners are virtually gone, and I do not want them gone.
We said last time that this was our podcast, and I can say something that's just
right.
Like what I think. But the thing is that frustrates me is that there are so much of this idea of, well, that's how things are now. And you want to just say, but why? And why are we okay that's how things are now? You don't just roll over and take it. I mean, you know, sometimes you stand up and you say, we're going to do it differently. And our family's going to be different. And we, not that you're going to get it right every time, but to at least not feel like, well, I've got to be this kind of person. I've got to be this kind of mom or wife because that's how all my friends are. Or I've got to be that kind of dad because all the other guys are that way. Or we've got to let our children be this way because that's just how kids are now. And it doesn't have to be that way.
Well, I think some of this, and I don't want to just run down a rabbit hole here because we're about out of time, but although we don't have time limit because we're doing podcasts, but anyway, I think some of it, not all of it, some of it comes to the idea of we as a society want to be so casual, and there's some of that that's good. I mean, we don't need to be uptight about everything, right. But I think that does take away manners because, saying yes ma'am and no ma'am is harder than saying yep or just nodding your head or actually holding the door for somebody that takes 4 or 5 more seconds is harder than just walking through the door. Yeah, and it's not the only contributing factor. I don't want that to come across. Well, but I think it is a major contributing factor that we become so casual that we forget those things that, yeah, take a little more effort and a little more verbiage and all that. But, man, they're needed.
And it's happened because there's this idea that manners or maybe a more genteel behavior is fake, you know, and that phrase now is that so many people want to throw around, being real, and you can be real with me, and it's almost insinuated that if you are acting right and showing manners, speaking nicely and dressing nicely, that's fake somehow. And where did we get this idea? We only get this idea because some people have started saying that, so now we feel like, if I'm too good or too perfect or care too much about that, then I'm not real. I'm putting on airs or something like that. And it's not. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means you're acting.
That's who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're being real.
Right. I did a ladies' day and said that very thing.
You're being
who you are, which might mean, yeah, I actually do want my floors to be swept.
You're putting on your coat of mail, drawing your sword, sitting on your horse, and being a knight. How about bringing that back around? It's no wonder a professional podcaster. How about that?
Oh, we're tired.
Let's eat some potatoes. To bring this thing all the way back around. All right. Lee, anything else we mentioned? We only went through a couple of articles. I had 5 listed, but I don't think this is like a 2-hour podcast.
I think we're talking too much about too little articles. Instead of, when we started doing this format, we were going every 4 or 5.
We're just finding ones we really like.
I guess.
And we figured out finally it's our podcast. We can go off if we want to.
We can just say this.
That's right.
For our 2 listeners out there, and that they will forgive us.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Wesley and Denise. See, there's 3. And Mom, I think. Maybe. But, no, I know we have others. By the way, I'll mention this, then we'll sign off, I promise. Several episodes ago, remember I said, I wonder if anybody's actually listened to all these. I've actually had 2 people tell me they've literally listened to every 79, 80 podcast, like every word of every one of them, which says 2 things. There are at least 2 nuts out there, one or the other. But in all seriousness, it reminds me to say, I was going to say this at the beginning, I just totally forgot, it brings it back. We do want to say thank you. I read something recently, Leah, I think it was on Twitter, the home of wisdom, that said something like, having blog subscribers shows you have some fans. Having podcast subscribers means you have some family.
Aww.
And I think that's pretty cool because the people who actually sit here and listen to us ramble for 30 minutes every couple of weeks and then actually like send us text messages or, Facebook messages or whatever, or leave comments, it does become like this, kind of like little internet family of people that just are willing to listen to our little conversations.
You're the one that tried to convince me because when we first started doing this, I was very nervous back years ago, and not the way we were doing it especially really stressed me out. Like, here's some article, what do you think about that? Now these are my articles, so maybe that's why I like them better, but I remember when we're gonna do it this way, and I was really nervous about it, and you said it's okay because it really is proven that people don't mind an informal podcast, because I had in my head, it's got to be really just like almost a presentation, so to speak.
A couple of my favorite ones. You can tell it's totally unscripted, and I love it.
And so for me, that made a difference. But really, and when you said that it's family, it is true, because it feels like we're sitting at our table right now.
Literally.
And if you're listening, we're imagining you sitting across the table from us.
In front of the pickles.
And when we get on a rant, it's hopefully everyone knows it's not in a way of just you know, judging, you know, too many people who don't do it. We're just really passionate about areas that we feel like are very, someone needs to speak in certain mm-hmm. areas. You know, plenty of people are talking and we want to speak for ourselves on these things that we think are so important. And that's so why, we do appreciate
that's
it.
That's why it's our podcast.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. But thank we you. Want our thank voice you for out listening. There. If you haven't subscribed, make sure you do that so you can hear more of our rants as well as our reactions to various articles. We look forward to back with you again in a couple of weeks. Remember, the show notes for this episode will link to a couple of articles we talked about. Those can be found at fondfamily.com/pod84, fondfamily.com/pod84. And until 2 weeks from today, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.